Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
G&D on the Fan in D.C., 106.7 all over Richmond, 105.1, 910 a.m. And, of course, coast to coast, wherever you're going, on the Odyssey app. Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to 106.7 the Fan. We are late for our Beltway Blitz, so let's get right to it. We got three teams in town you care about to cover. A lot of news today, so let's dive in. Byron Kerr on the Nats. You have heard Byron on these airwaves for many years. Byron, why don't we start with the return of Juan Soto and pitcher Will Harris, both taken off the injured list. Sounds like Soto is going to be only used as a pinch hitter, though. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal to get that guy back, and Will Harris as well. I mean, they haven't been able to see him at all. He's been out since March, and he's at full health. That's a great sign. He says he's ready to go, and he said he worked out every single day during this time off, so hopefully he can hit the ground running. But you can't say enough about what this lineup means when you have Juan Soto in it, and as you said, he is not going to start tonight. He's still in what is called a throwing program to get that arm strength back and get that arm shoulder feeling well. But he says he has no issues swinging the bat, so I'd expect him to be in a pinch-hitting role here in these first few games of the series against Atlanta and maybe get a start later. Or he also could be the DH this weekend when they play the Yankees. So there's a lot of opportunities to get at-bats for Soto as he continues the throwing program. But you know, with the lineup that they have set with Juan Soto in it, it's night and day what they're capable of. And that's really been the thing that's been holding them back the whole season, is not getting as much offense as they would have liked. And Juan Soto can certainly change that.
Check out a piece that our buddy Byron wrote in the Washington City paper about the improved defense of the Nats and how they've ridden that to a 7-3 record without Soto. BK, give me the latest on Steven Strasburg. I'd like to see him pitch in Major League Baseball games.
Yeah, they keep saying he expands, you know, from 100 feet to 150 to 200 feet. So he's still on the road to recovery, and it is a good sign, but they're going to be super careful with him and a little bit slower road, unfortunately, than these other guys. It was nice to get John Lester back, so they're pretty close to getting the starting rotation back to where they are, and the starting rotation is starting to be that starting rotation that's supposed to be a strength of this team. So hopefully in the next few weeks we'll get some good news on Steven Strasburg. But it's nice to see guys like John Lester and Patrick Corbin and Max Scherzer starting to show what they're capable of. And one of the reasons why the Nats have, despite being .500, have climbed to the top of the division. So that's a good sign here in the early days of May.
Yeah, Byron, speaking of which, the Nats are 12-12 and in first place. Phillies 1-under with the Mets, Braves 4-under, Marlins 5-under. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a wild division to start. I mean, talking about the upheaval in New York last night where they fired longtime hitting coach and very famous hitter Chili Davis and Tom Slater, his assistant, joking about some sort of fake hitting coach they had up there in Donnie Stevenson, and that backfired on Chili Davis, and they got rid of him after 23 games because the $341 million man Francisco Lindor wasn't hitting, so they blamed the hitting coach. You know, Philadelphia has been up and down, obviously, and the Atlanta Braves that we're going to see here starting tonight. I just did a podcast with Kevin McAlpin from 680, the Fan in Atlanta, and, you know, they have ridiculous amounts of injuries like the Nationals did, but they lost Travis d'Arnaud, their cleanup hitter, basically, for the season. And he's on a 60-day DL because of a torn ligament in his thumb. They've had a ton of injuries. And their starting pitching has not been what they were hoping it would be when they made it to the NLCS last year. So it's been a long run, and Miami Marlins aren't, you know, trying to repeat what they did last year, but that Cinderella story may not be where they were when they faced off against the Nats, who are not 100%, and the Nats were able to sweep them. That's a good sign. And it's a really interesting division that no team has been able to take hold yet, and that's why, you know, the Nats, with four games in a row, a little bit of consistency, not quite where their offense wants to be, but their pitching is coming back a little bit, is why they've had some success here recently.
Byron Kerr, Curly W Podcast. You can check it out wherever you get podcasts. BK, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
You guys are the greatest. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, my friend. Be well. Let's talk some hoops, please. Fred Katz of The Athletic joins us, covers the Wizards for that periodical. Fred, if you had to bet the entire Katz fortune, that includes all the delicatessen money and the residuals from the old Dr. Katz show, all that money, do the Wizards overtake the Pacers in terms of seeding in the Eastern Conference? What would you bet on?
Oh, man. Well, I would be so stressed. I don't know if I'd live to find out the answer. So, you know what? I think they will. I think they will. They're a half a game back right now. They're one back in the long run, but they play Indiana one more time in Indiana. That being said, I just think the Wizards.
I think we're losing Fred. Let me throw him on hold, see if we can work on his phone. I heard him say, I just think the Wizards, and then he dropped off. I'm wondering if he was going to say, are going to win it all, are going to be the last team standing.
We can't say. We can't say for sure one way or the other. One possibility is the Wizards are the best team in basketball. The Wizards are the best team I've ever seen. I'd stake my reputation that no team has ever been better. He could have said any of those things.
That might actually make a really good call segment, is we just have Fred's cut saying, I just think the Wizards. And then we let people fill in the blank, and they call in and they tell us the rest of the sentence. You can take that in a lot of ways.
Are never going to win 50 games in a season.
In my lifetime.
In my lifetime.
All right, Fred. So, Fred, you said, I just think the Wizards, and we're now waiting with bated breath for the rest of that sentence.
Well, I wanted to leave you with as much suspense as possible, or at least Verizon wanted to leave you with as much suspense as possible. I think the Wizards are a matchup nightmare for Indiana, and they play them one more time in Indiana. And we kind of saw the reasons for that last night. The Pacers can really struggle in transition. The Wizards are the fastest team in the league in terms of pace, and they have been all year. And on top of that, when they don't have Miles Turner, he is so important to their defense in terms of the, not just the shot blocking that he provides, but the general paint protection. He scares ball handlers out of the paint. He alters shots. He prevents guys from getting to the middle and creating threes. He's so important for their defense. And when they don't have him, Washington's offense can get rolling, but only if they get to the paint. They don't really have shooters outside of Bertans. And so if Westbrook can get to the paint with ease, Beal can get to the paint with ease, that just allows them to do whatever they want offensively. They had 96 points in the paint last night. So I think I'm going to consider them winning that game. I think they're hotter than the Pacers. The Pacers are heading in the wrong direction. So, you know, I hope I'm right, because I don't want to be living on the streets.
All right, Fred, real quick one here on Russell Westbrook. Is it too soon to just declare that trade a massive win for Tommy Shepard?
I mean, I don't have a problem with anybody doing that. We've seen a full season, you know, but both those guys still have 2 years left on their contracts. So I tend to be a little bit more reserved in saying that. But that being said, I mean, look, this is the reason the Wizards made the trade. They thought it would make them better. They thought they were getting the better player. That's why they were the ones who gave up the draft pick. I think there were concerns with Wall just having perpetual injury issues over the last 3 years that they didn't know how his body would hold up over an 82, or in this case, 72 game season. So I don't really have a problem with anybody doing that. I'm going to hold off because, you know, we'll see. Things ebb and flow. 3 months ago, everybody was saying the opposite, right? But right now, you know, Westbrook is playing amazing, and this is the reason why they made the trade, because they thought he'd be able to do things like this.
Fred, thank you, buddy. Be well.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. We'll see you soon. Let's talk some puck, please, Darius. Joe Beninati calls Capitals games, NBC Sports Washington, and he's great at it. Joe B., you've been on with us. You know us. Grant and I don't really have a huge issue generally when hockey happens, right? When two guys collide and somebody gets the business end in a bang-bang play, we are generally, you know, we give a kind of a wide berth there. I think both of us, I don't want to speak for GP, have more of an issue when somebody's on the ground or something's extracurricular and there are punches thrown. It's kind of interesting how the league views that sort of stuff, though, regarding Tom Wilson, huh?
No doubt, Danny, and I wish I could speak to Tom. If I had the chance to talk with him directly, I would have asked what was going on at the bottom of that scrum while Buchnevich was awkwardly crumpled up against the post. What was he doing to Vanacek that prompted you to throw that short little love tap rabbit punch? Because that's what incites the whole thing. And we've seen Tom, and we all know what kind of a person he is. At least I can say that I know what kind of a person he is. He loses his cool from time to time on the ice. He blows a gasket. I think the other teams know that about him. They're trying to incite that in him so that he will put himself into difficult positions and come under fire of the Department of Player Safety. I just want to know what was going on that prompted that short, tiny little right jab that triggered all the animosity from Panarin jumping on his back, and then it becomes a melee. Panarin's giving about 45 pounds to Wilson. Wilson treats him like a flea. It'd be like you guys fighting me. It's no contest. And I wish Tom could avoid these situations, but it's easy for me to say that. They happen so quickly, they develop so fast. But I think people, the opponent that is, they sit there and go, get under his skin, irritate him. He'll be provoked, he'll blow a gasket, and he'll put himself in hot water again. Do it to him. Do it to him. And I wish he would avoid those situations.
Joe B., why do you have to beat us up so easily?
No, you beating me. It's you beating me. It's you ragdolling me.
I don't know, Joe B. I don't think so. All right, as far as Panarin, by the way, the thing that the New York media is so mad about was how he ragdolled Panarin. Sorry, I don't have a problem with that. Panarin went after him. It's
correct.
Just that it's a skirmish. Dudes are tackling each other. That happens in every game I've ever seen in my life. Someone's in the crease whacking at a goalie. I don't like that he threw that punch at all. I will say that was bad. I don't like it. Panarin went after him. What's he supposed to do? Apologize to Panarin and skate away? The dude's jumped on his back.
Yeah, I agree with you. What prompted everything was the short right punch to Buchnevich while Buchnevich was down on the ice. What was Buchnevich doing to Vanacek that irritated you that much, Tom? Why did you do that? He gives me the answer. I understand it. I'll believe it or not. But that's the question that needs to be answered. Everything that happens after that, Panarin and Buchnevich are both trying to double up and jump on the guy's back. He's a strong dude. Panarin's giving away a lot of weight there. Things are going to happen. I don't think he was trying to slam his head on the ice. I just don't. But, Tom, I wish you would stay away from these situations because I firmly believe the other teams around the league, they know that you're apt to blow a gasket, so they put you in those situations. They chirp you. You know, all the preening in the penalty box afterwards. Tom, you're better than that. Please avoid that. Don't do that.
Joe B., let's get to actual matters of puck here that are critical here. 39 seconds of Alex Ovechkin last night. That was not a good scene, him leaving, and it sounds like, you know, no go maybe the next time they take the ice. What are your thoughts there? What are we seeing? What are we hearing?
It scares me. It worries me, Danny. It does, and I was worried the night it happened in New York on Long Island, and it's a bad time for injuries. I do say this in every interview that I do about Alex Ovechkin. He's one of the greatest athletes I have ever seen with his ability to play with things that are nagging him, minor injuries, aches, pains, bruises. This guy plays at that warrior level when he's hurt quite a bit. Now, can he play when he's injured? No. And that was a point last night. And obviously the doctors and the athletic trainers are going to do everything they can to help him rehab and get him back on the ice as soon as possible. But you've got to take some time again now. If it was that he could not go more than 39 seconds and have that one little bump in front of the goal where everything seemed to be irritated again, he needs to take some time off and be as healthy as he can be for the playoffs. I just don't know how much you can be. I'm not sure exactly what the injury is, but if it's any sort of a muscle pull, this is a tough time of the year to have that happen.
Joe Beninati, nobody better on the call of hockey. And watch him and Craig Lachlan down the stretch, NBC Sports Washington, as the Caps vie for the top seed in the East. Joe, thank you so much, buddy. We appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for making some time for me. Appreciate
always. It. Be well. The great Joe Beninati on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's get into the Tom Wilson fight last evening. The skirmish at the cage. Wilson not suspended, just a $5,000 fine. His name trending nationally on Twitter throughout the day. Hockey fans all over the country are irate. You got a columnist in New York calling for him to be banned from the sport. That's next.
Buchnevich. He was tied up. Oh, Van Riemsdyk with a terrific play on Buchnevich. Now they're pounding Buchnevich on the ice.
Now Wilson.
Wilson's throwing punches.
Yeah, well, he went after, I think, Buchnevich.
Oh, boy.
Now Wilson.
This is ridiculous.
Panarin.
What is Wilson doing?
Well, you know, he was been incensed ever since he was given that penalty.
So he goes after Panarin.
With all due respect to the very, very successful broadcaster, Sam Rosen, you just heard there, he didn't go after Panarin. Panarin jumped on his back, and then he threw him on the ground. Don't jump on his back. And welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So, if you weren't watching last night, scene erupts at the cage, second period, with Pavel Buchnevich in the crease. Tom Wilson doesn't like something he sees. You go back, you slow it down, you watch replays, we can go through the specifics. He ends up throwing what looked like a right, you know, a shot toward the back of the head. Couldn't tell if it landed on the upper shoulder, you know, toward the head of Buchnevich, who is a 26-year-old Ranger, who's defenseless. I mean, he's on the ice in kind of an uncomfortable, weird position, and I didn't like the punch. I said at the start of the show, I have for years, after most of the hits Tom Wilson has gotten in trouble for, defended either the hit, the action, the player, what have you, and said that shouldn't be suspendable. I wouldn't suspend guys. Caps fans scream all the time when one of their players gets boarded about suspend Komarov or whoever, 2-3 games. And I say, don't worry about it. Don't suspend that guy. Because hockey happened. I believe in hockey being a fast, violent game. I think these things happen all the time. I don't like the extracurricular stuff outside of the action, outside of the play. You slew foot someone. You whack someone in the junk with your stick. You come up behind them and throw right on the back of their head, whatever. That's the suspendable stuff. So if they would have suspended Tom Wilson for a game, based on his track record, he had just come off of a suspension, based on him being Tom Wilson and doing that, I would not have had a problem with it. I wouldn't have come on here kicking and screaming today. I would have said, you know, don't throw a punch at a defenseless guy on the ice. I have to also say, Danny, before we get into some of the reaction around the country and in New York, most of what happened in that scene last night that everyone is acting like is the biggest deal in the history of hockey and should lead to this guy being kicked out of the league will happen 5 times in the next calendar week. Seriously, it happens all the time. There were a couple of the rules violated there. You're in the cage too close to the goalie. You're kicking at the goalie in the crease. It happens. Guys get together. They tackle each other. They face-wash each other. They punch at each other. I thought the punch to the back of the head, the shoulder, whatever, was the one thing I saw that I really didn't like from Wilson, okay? And I admit that. People that are bothered about him throwing Panarin to the ground because Panarin had no business being locked up with Wilson, talk to Panarin. He jumped on his back. That is not Tom Wilson's problem. I now have to get this flea off of me. I have to get this little tiny pest who's wrapped around me off of me. I'm going to throw him to the ground. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Artemi Panarin is one of the best players in hockey. He is a legit
He's terrific.
Star. He shouldn't be fighting Tom Wilson. Everyone can agree to that. But the people that are going nuts, like, you attacked Artemi Panarin. No, Panarin jumped on Tom Wilson trying to defend his teammate. Tom Wilson threw him on the ground. Period. No problem with that part of it. The only issue I take was the punch. And I take issue with that. And if they wanted to suspend him a game, Danny, fine. They gave him $5,000. I'm glad that they did. Little surprised he didn't get a game. But that's the part I'll clean up. The rest of it, get out of here.
Yeah, it's the NHL, I don't think, has this right in general, where a punch, and they go, this is the max we can find somebody, is $5,000. Which, you know, obviously is a lot, but it's not a lot for a guy that's making over $4 million. It's not the $311,781.61 you cost him when you suspended him for 7 games for a hockey play. They need to flip that. Hockey plays need to result in, hey, you want to find somebody for that? Okay. You want to give someone a game because you're trying to clean up boarding. Most of the suspensions this year have been boarding, elbows, stuff to the head. things that are endangering people's head long term. They're not really that concerned about TJ Oshie's collarbone a couple years ago against Carolina in the playoffs. They're concerned about head injuries, and that's the point of emphasis. Okay, fine. Well, fist to the head, that's a potential head injury. They should switch that. I would change the CBA today. I'd get together, figure out a way. You start punching people, you get suspended for a bunch of games. I'm totally fine with that. I thought that punch was ridiculous. I can't believe Tom Wilson. Oh, well, I can believe it. That needs to be legislated. That he should be in trouble for that. And he got his punishment, and that's what the CBA says, so that's fine. He's had suspendable events in his career, just judging by these nebulous set of rules. There's a set of rules for Tom Wilson, then there's a set of rules from other players, it seems like, that people don't clutch their pearls to the same degree. He's had worse offenses that have led to lesser suspensions, and that's always been my problem with it, right? Where you suspended him, what was 20, then became 14, but only after it was 17, nowhere near as big an offense as some things that maybe happened earlier in his career or, again, that other guys were doing. And that's kind of my problem is always the inconsistency. If you have decided, here's the bar. This is in every rule for society. This is in everything with sports, with our governments, the way we react to each other, social media, whatever the rules are. Here's the bar. If it's on one side of the bar, you suspend a guy. If it's not, you don't. It's now if Tom Wilson exceeds the bar, suspension. If another guy does it, whoopsie-daisy, we don't do anything, right? We can do, you know, guys that blog, guys that collect these things on Twitter can find a dozen examples every night or who are doing things that are every bit as bad or worse as Tom Wilson, but they don't have the brand that Tom Wilson does. That's my frustration out of all of it. So if you ask me what I think, please don't punch people when they're laying face down defenseless on the ice. I would tell Tom Wilson that. Don't do that, please. That's easily avoidable.
Yeah,
what's the intent?
Fair.
That's malicious. That has nothing to do with hockey. You know, the extra stuff when you're in a bit of a fracas, that's kind of the culture of the sport. That, to me, a lot less offensive than the punch.
Here is the big problem, I guess, I have, though, with the way that this is being talked about. I mean, still, to this minute, when you go to the Twitter What's Happening, like, trend in sports, Tom Wilson's name is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And with the stories that are being written, one of them out of the New York Post, quote, this is the headline, by the way, and this is how I know that this story is a joke. The NHL must ban Tom Wilson for nearly killing Artemi Panarin. I mean, that is preposterous. I'm sorry, that's just outrageous. So, that having been said, this is being way overdone by a lot of people, and the reason is that it's Tom Wilson. But the fact of the matter is, what happened last night with Tom Wilson happens in hockey all of the time. I won't say that the punch to the back of the head there happens all of the time. It happens frequently. I would say that's a once every couple of weeks thing, that shot that you saw.
Uh-huh.
And if they want to suspend a game or two for that shot of a defenseless player on the ice, I don't really have a big problem with that. It's a sucker punch. It's a guy that can't, you know, defend himself. Fine. But most of that entire scene, most of that entire fracas was a Monday night in hockey. And if it wasn't Tom Wilson, no one would be talking about it, let alone the New York Post. But this story, I mean, I just want to read some of it. It's written by Larry Brooks. And in fairness, I will say I believe Brooks is a well-respected columnist. He's been doing this forever. I texted him just a few minutes ago. Darius tried to reach out to him earlier today. He got back to me and said he's playing with his grandkids. No, he's not coming on to talk about the column. And he should be playing with his grandkids. That's awesome, and I hope his family's having a wonderful day. I think you wrote an egregious column. I just do. I'm sorry. The NHL's ultimate decision whether and for what duration to suspend Tom Wilson for twice body-slamming Artemi Panarin, who will miss the final three games of the season to the ice after the Washington recidivist went upside a prone and defenseless Pavel Vucevic's head with a sucker punch during a second period incident at the Garden on Monday will not be a reflection on Wilson, but instead on the league itself. They obviously haven't suspended him. He's come back out and said, you know, he had this one already in the chamber. How dare the NHL? The Rangers need to take matters into their own hands and retaliate tonight. And to that, I say good luck.
Explore the space. Enjoy it.
Have fun with that. I bet you 43 is going to be ready and waiting. But regardless, he's writing about Wilson needing to be either suspended or kicked out of hockey for body slamming Panarin. Not even about the punch.
Right.
The punch here is kind of his secondary thing. The punch is the only thing that happened, in my opinion, that anyone should be upset about. The DOPS isn't looking into the body slam of Panarin, which, by the way, is less a body slam and more him getting Artemi Panarin off of him by throwing him to the ground. He's a 50-pound lighter guy than him who jumped on his back quite literally. Like Aaron Donald with Alex Smith in his first game, just jumped on his back. Is he supposed to calmly set him down and pat him on the head and say, you don't want to do that, little buddy? No, there's 10 guys fighting each other, basically, in a pile. Someone jumps on your back, you get him off your back. So that's exactly what he did. And then he shoves Panarin down to the ice again. He could have, if he wanted to, like an MMA fighter with a lifeless guy in the middle of the octagon, after a knee, jumped on top of him and started punching him until a ref pulled him off. He didn't do it. He pushed him down as a second time after he slammed him on the ice. But this is written as if he almost killed Artemi Panarin. And it's a joke. And this is where this narrative comes from, by the way. I'm wondering, how in Boston do these fans, how are they so off base? Now, how are Pittsburgh Penguins fans so uninformed when it comes to these Tom Wilson situations? Well, now I know. Columns like this one. The call that you just heard coming into the segment from MSG where they go, he's going after Panarin.
Mm-hmm.
Panarin went after him.
It comes from results. And this is always my problem with punishments and fines and suspensions in sports. We go, well, this guy got concussed, so now it's much more severe. What was the process that led to it? Because sometimes concussions don't happen. Sometimes injuries don't happen. We need to legislate processes. And sports still to this day, even as much as we know, in 2021, don't do that. We're now deciding, if Panarin skated away and been A-OK, this guy's not doing a pearl clutching column. This is something else entirely.
Yeah.
You know, but because precious Artemi Panarin, for a team that's been eliminated from the postseason, suck on that, is now not well for a few days because he went after Tom Wilson and caught the business, now we have to have an emergency.
But it also comes from fans. You know, he is allowing his Rangers fandom to take over in this column, right? This was not only Bush League stuff, he wrote. I think the punch was Bush League. Throwing Artemi Panarin to the ice, I can't tell you enough how little I care about that, and they need to get over it. I'm sorry that he got hurt. He engaged. He threw himself into the ring. That's his own problem. But anyway, Bush League stuff from the notorious headhunter. Not true, not fair, but you're buying the narrative. That's fine. Who has been suspended 5 times from the NHL in his career. Correct. It was frightening how close his initial body slam of Panarin, on which the Washington winger grabbed a chunk of hair to grab leverage, came to causing calamitous damage. Had Panarin's head rather than shoulder hit the ice full force, the NHL might be presiding over a death. Hyperbole much. I mean, I'm just reading a column here.
Yeah.
I'm reading a column that was actually written. Here's what happened. Artemi Panarin jumped on Tom Wilson's back. Tom Wilson slammed him on the ice. Watch the video. Panarin hops up, continues to fight. Just two adults. This kind of thing happens in hockey nightly. Okay. The punch, I'll continue to say, shouldn't have done it. Give him a suspension for a game. I'm not that upset about it. That's Bush League. I didn't love that. Happens sometimes, but shouldn't happen. And when it does, it's a dirty moment and you shouldn't do that, in my opinion. He's writing as if this Panarin stuff is the problem. And that the guy almost died. I just think that that's so ridiculous. This is reckless stuff that is repeated over and over, he writes, enabled over and over again by the Washington organization. As opposed to what, by the way? Like, they're supposed to send him to Hershey. They're supposed to release him. I mean, how about he's one of the most complete players on the team, and he's not who everyone thinks he is, so they keep trotting him out there and let him be great at hockey. Caps coach Peter Laviolette shrugged off Wilson's blow that concussed Boston's Brandon Carlo in early March. Again, that hit, we've gone through that. Everyone thought he should have been, you know, ruled out of hockey forever for that.
Placed in jail.
I thought it was just a scrum, Laviolette said after his team's 6-3 win. Some physical play, it happens a lot. But he goes on to write that Tom Wilson should be booted. You know, that he should basically, you know, not be part of the NHL for not only the rest of this season, but maybe forever. Here's the final paragraph. Enough is enough. Wilson should be banned for the rest of this year and the playoffs, and he should have to apply for readmission to the league next season. A man with no hockey conscience has fortified his right to play. You're up, Commissioner. I mean, this is hilarious to me. But now I know. Now I know where the opinions
come from. Yeah, that's how it happens.
It's so over the top, so hyperbolic. And if it was anyone else, nothing like this happens. Now, Larry might tell you, well, that's the point. It isn't someone else. It's Tom Wilson. And to that, I would say, if you come in with some false convictions, it makes the case against the guy maybe not quite as relevant. But we want to take calls on this at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067, see where you guys are at. I personally thought he was going to get suspended for a couple of games, and I wouldn't have had a problem with that for the punch.
Me neither.
What do you guys think about what the Department of Player Safety did in Wilson's game in general? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Yeah, well, we all saw it, and there are lines that can't be crossed in this game, and it's just, to me, it's just zero respect for the game in general. And, you know, you got one of the star players in this league now who could have got seriously, seriously hurt in that incident. It's just, you saw what happened, and, you know, it happens time and time again with him, and it's just, it's totally unnecessary, and it's, hey. It's just, you all saw what happened. And it's just, like I said, it's just zero respect for the game and the players and everybody involved. My songs know what you did in the
dirt. So light them up, light them up. Grant and Danny on The Fan, 5 and 5, top of the hour. You don't want the star player injured, maybe keep the star player for jumping into the lion's den. How about that? G&D on The Fan. DC, Richmond, Odyssey lets you take us wherever you want. What do you guys make of this Tom Wilson situation? I think that the punch, which I hated, game or two. Not saying it doesn't happen frequently in hockey, but to me, that's the type of thing I'm getting out of hockey.
Yep.
No problem, game or two. The people in New York, that coach right there, Larry Brooks, the columnist, they're mad about this Artemi Panarin getting thrown around thing. Artemi Panarin jumped on the dude's back. What did you expect? Can you imagine running up to a guy in a bar? Like, your buddy and him are in a little bit of a fight. What is a little bit of a fight, by the way?
A wee fight.
You know, you're not in a fight, but you're in a little bit of a
fight. Kind of a fight.
But you see this guy, like, kick the stool out from under your buddy, and he falls over or something. And you go up, and you jump on this guy's back. Literally, that's what Panarin did. You jump on his back. And then he kind of chucks his shoulders and slams you back on the ground and picks you up and pushes you back on the ground. And everyone goes, why'd you do that to him? Leave him alone. He's just a little boy. Leave that little boy alone. Please stop jumping on his back, little boy. Stay away. These are adults. These men, these grown-ass men fighting. You, little boy, goal scorer boy, you stay over there. Stop telling me that Artemi Panarin got thrown around like a rag doll and Tom Wilson should be ashamed of it. He jumped on his back. The little boy tried to fight the man. That's what happened. And the man didn't want to fight the little boy, so he just let him down in a way that men let little boys down. They're 50 pounds lighter. Let's go to Lou in D.C. Hey, Lou, how are you?
What's up, Lou?
What's going on, DNG? I can't complain, man. Look, man, they whining about because they got eliminated. That even makes the situation even worse. I was on Twitter defending my guy. So, you know, it's a hockey play, man. Like you say, I mean, the guy jumped on his neck. I mean, Tom had to defend himself. I mean, what are they talking about?
Well, I get being upset, Lou, thank you for the call, brother, about the punch.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, if that whole column was about this guy taking a punch at a defenseless player who's face down on the ice, suspend him for 10 games, I wouldn't be upset. If that coach had just referenced moments ago, he took a punch at our guy, man. You can't take a punch at our guy, man.
Yeah, guy's got his arms are sort of tucked behind him under his sides.
Really,
he's got
awkward.
Nowhere to go, and his face is already kind of smushed against the ice, and Wilson hits him in the face.
Well, not in the face.
Well, whatever it is.
Kind
he hits him.
Shoulder, head, yeah, whatever.
He punched him. I object to that. Very reasonable thing to object to, by the way. But we're basically going, hey, you broke into somebody's house. and taking that and saying, hey, you committed attempted murder. Well no, he didn't. He did this thing. We're saying he did this thing.
Let's go to Ray in Fairfax on Grant.
Go get it, Ray.
What's up, Ray?
Hey, I agree with you guys, but to be honest with you, if you've ever been hit from behind, what Wilson did, Wilson's not right. You can't tell me that he was going to, I mean, that he actually went and hit that guy from behind. They should throw him out of the game, and I'm dead serious.
On the punch, you mean, or on Panarin?
What do you mean hit for, you're talking about
for
the punch.
For everything. To be honest with you, the guy is out of control. He threw a hissy fit because he got penalty minutes for slapping a guy earlier, and I didn't understand why he did that.
Appreciate you. He did get thrown out of the game with a 10-minute misconduct. He came back later, but, I mean, you can't do much more than they did in the moment, for the record. Got a $5,000 fine instead of a suspension today. Steve's in Ashburn. What's up, Steve? Steve, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Steve, turn on your sound machine so that it's very soothing in the background so it can fall asleep.
I no longer need the sleep noisemaker that I bought.
Isn't that nice?
40.
Sorry, guys. Nothing I can do about the weather. But your response is because he's our guy.
Hey, dude.
He's back. That was like a minute before he came.
What's up, man?
We were in full-on shtick mode.
Listen, I do expect more from you two because you're usually much better. But you come a little bit across like FP or even Larry Michael a little bit with this. He's our guy, so you're going to back him up. It was a bad move. He's a thug. Nobody can take him on the ice, so he destroys people. It deserved the suspension. Fair's fair. I mean, that's it.
Which part?
So literally everything you just said,
which part we
agree with. What do you expect more from? I've said many times, if you suspended him a couple games, I'd had no issue with it. I didn't like the punch. So what am I saying that you think is me being a homer?
That they're crybabies, that they're whining about nothing. I mean, it's legitimate.
Well, they are crybabies and whining about nothing if they're upset about him putting Artemi Panarin on the ice. Panarin jumped on his back. That part of this is stupid. It makes no sense that that's what they're griping about. The punch, suspendable.
Granted, but listen, it's what the league does by doing nothing is set this up for retribution, and then he tops this and he tops that. I mean, they're going to go after each other, and somebody's going to go after him. They go after Obi.
Obi
handles himself.
Yeah, I want to go back to the part where you called us homers when you agree with us. I want to go back to that part.
You can't because I can't hear you. The soothing sound.
Well, okay. I expect more from your phone. How about that?
That was weird. So
5 at 5 at the top of the hour. In the meantime, though, we'll take more calls on this. So let's do this. We do the 5 at 5 generally to kick off the 5 o'clock segment. We can cram it into about 10 minutes back half. But I want to ride with this because the phones are hot. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. No suspension for Willie. He gets fined $5,000. Did the DOPS handle it correctly? We are surprised he didn't get a minimal suspension. And how about the idea that Rangers fans, and it sounds like the coaching staff, are bothered that he fought with Panarin after Panarin jumped on him? G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.